We are delighted to have Jonathan Rauch with us here on the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell was talking about this whole...
I was avoiding answering your question.
I'll give you an opportunity here to avoid it a little longer. Jonathan, you say in gay marriage, you talk about how if two people go into the woods and they pledge their troth, they commit to each other, they can do that and it's fine, but it ain't marriage because the third party is always... The community is always central to that commitment, which will give you a chance to think a little longer, Bill.
Poor Bill looks a little desperate over there.
gasping.
This business of
thumbing
two
through
people,
books, trying to find something.
Two people are not a marriage. Three is what a marriage makes. Spell that out a little more.
Three or more. Two people can do a lot of things, and if marriage were just a contract between two individuals, they could go off by themselves to a lawyer's office in the privacy of, with no one else around, they could make a deal.
Still, it's a lawyer's office.
Well, if it were not marriage, they could do it in private. They wouldn't need a lawyer. For marriage, there's always a third party present, even if it's only one person. Of course, usually it's tens, dozens, hundreds of people. It's your friends, your family.
It's your grandmother who makes sure of that, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And it's, of course, the parents who insist on the lavish weddings, not the kids. They'd often rather not bother with it in many cases. But that's all those people around you in your life, your friends and family and neighbor and community, all saying what you're doing today is really important and we all have a stake in this. A marriage only happens when two people make this promise in front of a witness. Who is the community? That person can be a clerk or a magistrate, or it can be dozens of people. But that's the crucial thing that makes marriage different. And Paula, you know, as I go around talking to people about the book, and one of the things I'm struck by again and again is how in America today, so many people take marriage for granted that they forgot that every marriage has an invisible third partner, and that's the community. And a lot of people these days think marriage is just a deal between two people. It's no one else's business. Why should anybody else care? It's just a private arrangement. Well, of course, my grandmother knew better than that.
Strange things happen on ski lifts because people have you captive for anywhere from 2 minutes to 30
minutes. Too long.
Unless, of course, the lift stops, in which case you're in deep trouble. But this person was making a point, and this goes back several years, that goes to what you're talking about. I said, it just drives me crazy that kids go off to the end. They have these exotic marriages. They go to Fiji and stand on the beach, up to their ankles in water, and have a wedding ceremony that they've written and something and something. And it was really the exotic locations, I think.
Yeah, but it wasn't roller skates. You upped his story by one with roller skates.
Yeah. I made that up.
Well, there's probably an example somewhere, but his point was that what it does is separate that ceremony from the community of which these people are supposed to be a part. And it seems, this sort of goes to Robert Putnam, it seems that part of the challenge is that we have, in many, many ways, of which marriage is one, we have dissociated ourselves, the individual, from the communities of which they're a part.
Marriage today looks more like cohabitation than it used to, and cohabitation today looks more like marriage than it used to. And what you're talking about is part of that phenomenon, but despite that, marriage is still different for most people from anything else. I don't know if you ever watched Sex and the City, one of my favorite TV shows, but I think maybe it's the third season. There's a whole bit about how the protagonist, Carrie Bradshaw, is together with her boyfriend, whose name is Aiden, and they've been together. It's a successful relationship, same apartment, same life. They look married, they act married, but they finally break up because Aiden asks Carrie to marry him, and she won't do it. She can't bring herself to make that commitment. And I know I've seen that situation in life. Many of us have. And what that's telling you is Americans still understand that when you go and you get married in front of all those people, even if the person is just a clerk, but usually it's a lot more, you're making a whole different kind of commitment. You're not just sanctifying or ratifying an existing relationship. You're entering a whole new phase of your life, a whole new stage, a whole new kind of being in the eyes of your community as well as each other.
I was struck at how deeply, and you step to it and say the same thing, how deeply conservative marriage is.
Uh-oh, the C word.
Well, but it is, small, if one thinks about it. It is conserving of a community in a way that is, there's nothing wrong with conserving things. I think we should conserve clean air. Maybe we should conserve marriage. But that, I must confess, had not occurred to me that anything that conservative, which isn't necessarily status quo, would be so powerfully important.
The case for gay marriage, Paula, this is the great irony, is a deeply conservative case in exactly that sense of the word. It's based on the notion that sex, love, and marriage go together, and that society is healthier when they do, and individuals are healthier, and couples are healthier, and neighbors are healthier. This is an idea that a lot of people have gotten away from in recent years, and of course it's social conservatives who've been reminding us what happens when fathers go AWOL and you have lots of childbirth out of wedlock and high divorce rate. So along come the gays who say, well, we want to go back to that notion of marriage as the ultimate commitment. We want the vows and the ceremonies and the rings and the rites and the responsibilities and the drudge work. And it's conservatives who are saying, no, you can't have that. It's too radical. It's a very funny kind of situation.
It would seem, I mean, it seems to me that's part of the challenge is, you know, we have, and I say this is part of the answer to the question you ask. We have these neat little packages, these little boxes. We've got a conservative and
with a big C.
Either one. And if you are a conservative, everything fits in that box. And we have all these other concepts. And your book is a good examination of the objections, the logical objections that most people raise. It turns out that, as you say, most of these, you know, if you force it to the absolute logic, the logic is very thin. What it comes down to is people's feelings and attitudes, which are not subject, in many cases, to logical suasion. And it seems that it's that part that's extraordinarily difficult to deal with. You can't have an argument with somebody who won't argue with you. And some of the things that we're talking about never get surfaced.
You know, Bill, that's right, but I don't complain about that. It makes my job as an advocate of same-sex marriage much harder to be dealing with a level at which a lot of people just say, look, all the arguments in the world won't change my mind. This is marriage we're talking about. It's always been man-woman for 3,000 years, at least, of continuous Western civilization. And of course, that makes my job a lot harder, and it's harder to argue with, but I actually treasure that, because marriage is the bedrock of civilization. We don't want to toy with it lightly. It is a good impulse on the part of people to say, we care enough about marriage, we take it seriously enough, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, to be cautious about being rash with it. We've made mistakes in the past in this country, made reforms that seem to make sense, only to find out that they didn't work out so well. So what I try to do in the book and in my talks to people is make clear to them how seriously I take what we're doing here, that this book is written out of a sense that I really treasure marriage and what it stands for and don't want to do anything rash.
Well, and with due credit, you are not arguing, we should say this early on, for the Supreme Court to step in. You're not arguing in favor of a constitutional amendment. Either way. And it's a fairly persuasive argument, is that this should be done incrementally utilizing the federal system that we have available to us.
Spell out this business of why you would have all 50 states make their own decision about this so that there's flexibility in the system.
That's the hardest thing the hardest bullet for me to bite is when my gay friends say, you know, if you have it your way, we can get married in one state, and the minute we leave the state, we're not married anymore. What kind of marriage is that? And they say, isn't marriage a civil right that we should have everywhere right away? And I'm a gay man. I'm in a long-term relationship. There's nothing I'd like more than to wake up tomorrow in a world where I could get married in all 50 states. But it goes back to what Bill was saying just a moment ago. A few things, actually. One is, it's just not democratic. And I'm a small d Democrat, I think, all the way to the center of my being. It's just not democratic for one state and five judges to decide this fundamental question for the whole country. And people don't agree on gay marriage, and they won't for a while. So I think you've got to decide it democratically. Second is, we are talking about marriage. We're talking about something very important. We need to know if this is going to work, and it's only really going to work because marriage is a community-based institution. If gay marriage is accepted in its community instead of rejected as some kind of alien imposter that's been implanted from outer space. So what might happen if you had gay marriage imposed by the Supreme Court on Texas? Or, for that matter, possibly in Georgia? So plant the seed in soil that's receptive. Try it in a few states, and let's find out what happens. What we're going to find out, I'm convinced, is that this works. This makes for stronger communities. Not weaker communities, stronger marriage, not weaker marriage. It bolsters the expectation that everyone will get married. And then we'll find out it works, and the rest of the country, I think, will come along with enthusiasm over time.
And marriage has always been based in the states.
Always.
This is from the beginning of...
Before...
Law. I was going to say, before the country...
Before the country was a country. In colonial days, marriage was always... up to the separate colonies, and there's a reason for that. Not just marriage, by the way, domestic law. Domestic law comes closest to the cores of our beings. It touches the social issues that are hardest for us to agree upon. You know, how should our families be structured? What should our daily lives be like? We're not talking about securities law or buying and selling. We're talking about families. And the principle has always been that those things that affect us closest to be home should be legislated closest to home, and that's a good principle.
This is Jonathan Rauch. We'll be back with him in a moment here on The Paula Gordon Show. We trust you'll be with us when we return.